everyone. My name is Haley.
And my name is Andrea.
And this is Inhuman Podcast. And today we're going to be covering a very, very, very current case.
Yes. We're going to be talking about Gabby Petito. We did kind of like a mini episode update when the information first kind of broke. But now we want to dive more into some of the details that have unfolded over the last couple of days.
Yeah, and I also wanted to put all of the details in like one place because I feel like there's a lot that's out there in different places as it's been coming out. So this is like as of the evening of Thursday, September 16th, this is everything that has been revealed. And I'm also going to explain a couple of theories. Andrea and I have talked a little bit about them, but not a ton. So I'm going to explain them and we're going to kind of discuss what we think. But first, I want to give you the full background of the case and what is happening.
Yeah.
If you are on social media or if you watch the news, you've probably heard something about this case. Like Andrea said on Wednesday, we shared a brief update with what was known as of Wednesday morning, but that's kind of when things just were starting to unfold. So a lot has come out since then.
Even my mom asked me, like, have you heard about the Gabby?
My mom did too. Okay. Police are searching for 22-year-old Gabby Petito. Like I said, Gabby is 22 years old. She is blonde with blue eyes, and she is about 5'5". And she, some reports have said she's like around 100, 110 pounds. So she's little.
She's petite, yeah.
Yeah. She also has one tattoo on her right arm that says, let it go, I think. Is that what it says?
Let it be.
Let it be. Thank you. And then there's a tattoo on her left arm with a triangle and flowers. I might have switched those arms, but she has two tattoos on each, one on each arm.
Okay.
She was on a road trip with her fiance, Brian Laundrie. Gabby and Brian had been together for a while, and they are originally from, they were living down in Florida before the road trip, and they were traveling across the U.S. in their white 2012 Ford van, and they were visiting like national parks and doing hikes and stuff like that. The two also started a YouTube channel to document their journeys, and they were also both often posting photos from their hikes and the views and stuff on their individual Instagram accounts.
Right.
So they left New York on July 2nd, and then on August 12th, we know that they were in Utah. They were in Moab, Utah, when an altercation happened between Gabby and Brian, and that led to a police incident report. So a witness saw Gabby and Brian arguing in a parking lot and called the police to report potential domestic violence, which, first of all, shout out to this witness because I feel like a lot of people will not do that, especially when it's like in public. You know, maybe if you hear something like your next door neighbors, you might call. But when you like see something, I feel like most people are like, I'm just going to avoid it. Like,
there's actually a term. There's like a term for that now. I can't remember what it is, but it's like, I don't know, some kind of avoidance, because people don't want to get involved, but it's like, do something, man.
Yeah. So shout out to this witness for actually calling it in. But so this witness saw Gabby and Brian arguing in a parking lot, and they called the police, and they were reporting potential domestic violence. And he reported that he saw the two potentially physically fighting, and he said that he saw Brian locking Gabby out of their van. And Gabby and Brian ended up leaving together, and police eventually found them pulling the van over. When the police officer turned his sirens on, the van actually swerved into another lane and then ended up hitting a curb. Then eventually, like, you know, they stopped and the police officer approached. Yeah. So the following, like, account is from the police report, but also from body cam footage. The police report was released on September 15th, but the body cam footage was released on the 16th, so I kind of combined it all. When the officer approached the van, Gabby was crying uncontrollably, and so the officer had her exit the van.
Yeah.
She started explaining how they had gotten into, like, arguments all morning, and she told the officer that she has extreme OCD and gets very frustrated when things get, like, messy, put out of place, etc., and that's part of what led to arguments that morning. And that just, like, really broke my heart because I struggle with OCD and I don't share about it a lot, but it can be really, really debilitating and frustrating, especially if your partner doesn't understand. And it's understandable that somebody who doesn't suffer from that can't understand because you don't understand it unless you're in it. But it just broke my heart.
Yeah, that's what she said too to the police, was like, he doesn't understand it. So he was like trying to distance her and like calm her down. And
yeah,
that's not what she needed.
No. And it just broke my heart too, because that's something that's not easy to like talk about. So the fact that she was like telling this officer.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. So on Gabby's account, Brian had locked her out of the van back in the parking lot, and she was afraid that she was going to, or he was going to leave her without a ride. So that's why she was like upset and tried to hit Brian. Gabby said that the car swerved because when she saw the police sirens behind them, she had punched Brian's arm to kind of like get his attention or be like, you idiot, like the police are following us now. And then that's what swerved. But she said that she never touched the wheel. Brian says, though, that she did grab the wheel. So we don't know what actually happened there, but that's what they told officers.
And he also told them that, like, he had no intentions of leaving her behind. He was just trying to, like, distance and, like, calm her down. So,
yeah. So Brian told the officers the same thing about arguing that day. And he said that in the parking lot, they had gotten into an argument and Brian had asked Gabby to walk away so that they could both cool off. He said that this led Gabby into a manic state where she started freaking out and she tried to grab the keys from him because she was, afraid that he was going to leave.
Yeah.
At this point, Brian claimed that he had taken the keys because he did not have a cell phone. So if Gabby left him with the van, he'd be stranded.
Yeah, why don't you have a cell phone, dude?
I don't know if that's true.
I'm like, you're on a cross-country road trip. Everyone needs a phone.
Yeah. But he said that Gabby tried to grab the keys and ended up hitting his face with her phone, and that's how he got the scratches that were on his face that the officers were questioning about. He also said that he kind of like shoved Gabby, but again, his intention wasn't to hurt her. It was kind of like, hey, like, why are you trying to hit me? Like, get off of me. So the officers concluded that in this case, Brian had been the victim of domestic violence. And even though Brian had told them he did not want to press any charges or like do anything, they had to at least separate them for the night. They said they had to, like, they couldn't just leave it. So they ended up separating them, and they were able to determine that Brian could get a hotel room and then Gabby would take the van for the night.
I'm really glad they did that, because in most cases they don't. And I know like every state is different, but like in South Carolina where I live, if there's a domestic dispute, like both people, especially if both people lay hands, like both people go to jail.
Right. Yeah. And like in the full length video of it, you can, cause there's like a video that's like an hour and 15 minutes and I watched most of it. And in that video, like they're trying to figure out what to do. And then they're talking to Brian and saying like, she can't take the van unless you have somewhere to go because you two cannot be together tonight. So I'm glad that they were able to figure that out.
Yeah.
So there are a ton of like opinions and speculations about this footage. Personally, I don't think that this proves that either Gabby or Brian were full on like constantly abusive towards each other. I don't think that from this footage you can determine that. But I do think that it shows that both of them were not afraid to get somewhat physical in, like, you know, pushing each other. And the hiking trails in the areas they were have a lot of steep canyons and drop-offs. So if something like this were to happen on, like, an edge somewhere, I could see something happening.
Super dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you think, Andrea, about, like...
I, like, based on the footage, you mean? Like, what I ascertained from it or whatever? Yeah. So, I have a lot of feelings, like we discussed, part of me sees two very young, very vulnerable, very naive people who are probably a little bit scared because they're in this, like, foreign state, and they're getting pulled over by the police. Mm-hmm. My very first gut instinct when I saw the body cam footage of Brian was not, oh God, he did something terrible to her, you know?
Agreed.
And I will admit, like, part of me, and I told you this earlier, like, the fact that she was so upset and she was, you know, admitting to the OCD and the anxiety, and even like he said, like the mania. I know mm-hmm. that those things can make people do and act in ways that they would not normally act.
Yeah.
And so a part of me for a second said, oh my God, like what if she did have like some kind of mental break and like ran off or did something to herself or just went like ghosted him. But then I always come back. I always circle back to why didn't he come forward and say something?
Yeah. So we'll keep talking about that. But there's a lot of people out there who are saying like, well, maybe she was abusive, which it does seem like.
Yeah, she admitted it. I mean, she said she didn't want to do him bodily harm, but
she did hit him.
Yeah, she hit him in the face a couple times.
Yeah.
And there's markings to prove that. So
yeah. And, you know, mostly we hear about men abusing women, but women abuse men. And I think it happens a lot more than we realize. So
it does.
We definitely have to look at it from all sides.
Yeah.
The next thing that we know is that on August 24th, Gabby talked to her dad on the phone saying that she was in Salt Lake City, Utah, in a hotel. And then the next day on August 25th, she talked to her mother on the phone telling her that they were heading to the Grand Tetons National Park. Is that how you say it?
I have no idea.
I said Tetons in one of my first videos and everybody has been coming at me for it.
Teton? How do you spell it?
It's T-E-T-O-N-S, but it's not Tetons. I think it's Tetons.
Tetons. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, that national park. And so that conversation that she had with her mother on August 25th is the last time anybody has verbally heard from Gabby.
Right.
Also on August 25th, Gabby posted a photo of herself in front of a mural in Utah on Instagram with the caption, Happy Halloween, with a pumpkin emoji and a fly emoji, which according to Gabby's family and friends was not like her. And you can go look at it yourself. Gabby's Instagram is at GabsPetito. And unfortunately, there are a lot of fake accounts that have been created.
I know. I tried to search for her.
Yeah. One of the accounts literally posted a story saying, I'm not dead, which, like, are you fucking kidding me?
What the hell? People are sick, man.
There was also a girl that posted a TikTok video pretending to be Gabby saying she was alive, which, again, are you fucking kidding me? Because so many people on TikTok are like, oh, she's alive. Didn't you see the video? Like, no, that is fake. Are you kidding me?
People like that have a special place in hell. That's all I'm going to say.
Agreed. So anyway, this photo that she posted on Instagram, according to her family and friends, like, was not like her. And when I was looking at it, I have to agree. Like, it wasn't consistent with her other posts. The caption was different. It didn't use hashtags or tag a location, which is, like, something she always did. And a normal person might, like, see nothing wrong with this. But to people who use social media a lot and are trying to grow social media, which is what mm-hmm. Gabby had told the police in the body cam footage, she said that she was, like, trying to become a blogger. You were consistent on posting, and she had been consistent, and there's an aesthetic that she had, and this photo just did not go along with it. It was also said that this was from a different part of Utah that would have been earlier in her trip, so it was like an older photo, so it was kind of weird that she randomly posted it. And it's not like it's like posted on Halloween or something. It was posted on August 25th.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it is definitely not with her aesthetic at all.
Yeah. And also her the comments on all of her Instagram posts have been limited, but yesterday morning on September 15th, they were not. I'm thinking it's maybe just the family that is like not wanting a flood of comments or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, you can't read any of them now, it looks like.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, well, maybe a few on some.
Okay. 5 days later from this August 25th interaction, Gabby's mom received a text message from her saying no service in Yosemite, which first of all, a lot of people say they were headed towards Yellowstone, which I believe they were. And the Yosemite could have either been a discrepancy in my source, or it could have been like a discrepancy in what Gabby's mom remembered, or it could have been a discrepancy in what Gabby sent. Like, I don't think that means anything. I think they were headed towards Yellowstone.
Okay.
But either way, Gabby's mom said that that message, again, was not like her. Some people have said that she possibly sent it earlier than August 30th and then it didn't go through. But either way, it still doesn't seem like Gabby.
Okay.
And all around this time, Gabby's parents were trying to reach her. They were trying to reach her fiancé, Brian, and they were trying to reach Brian's family, but they couldn't get in contact with any of them. So the next day, on September 1st, the day after that last message, Brian was back in Florida. On September 11th, Gabby's family was finally able to report her missing. And now they did try to do this earlier, but they weren't able to because she wasn't missing from her state of residence. She was on vacation, so they couldn't report her missing. But at this point, I think because Brian was back, they were finally able to be like, well, she's not with him. She's missing.
So she lived in New York and he lived in Florida?
They lived in Florida together. I think that they were in New York doing something else when they started their trip.
Okay.
Yeah. And they actually lived together in Brian's parents' house.
Gotcha.
According to some reports.
Okay.
So also on September 11th, the white van, which was Gabby's van, by the way, was pulled over in Florida. Brian was driving and Gabby was not there.
Yeah.
Brian immediately pretty much lawyered up and has not said anything. His only statement basically said the Laundrie family like hopes that she will be home safe and we are staying in the background. So like he's gotten a ton of flack for this.
Yeah, and he should. And didn't they seize the van at that time too?
They did, yeah, and I'll talk for about evidence. That. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that's I think why this case has gotten so much attention, because her fiance is literally not saying anything. He refuses to cooperate despite her family and the police like pleading to give information. Like
that's the part that gets me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why are you not saying anything? You're not even saying, oh, the last time I saw her was. You could say the last time I saw her was in Utah and she walked away and didn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So on September 15th, Brian was officially named a person of interest, which, as a reminder, is not a suspect. A person of interest is somebody who the police believes has information, but he was officially named a person of interest. And then on September 16th, the Northport, Florida Police Department held a press conference. Todd Garrison, who is the chief of police in Northport, spoke first. He said that they were working on the case, that the FBI was helping. He said that they were working on getting bank statements and like financial records, phone records, etc. And he said that they were also looking into all like highway tolls and cameras, surveillance cameras, anything they could. He said that the interior of the van was processed on the 15th with the FBI, but they are not ready to share anything yet. They're still analyzing it all. And then he said that right now it is still a missing persons case and no criminality has been suspected. And then he got a question about, like, why they can't bring Brian in. And he basically said, right now, we can't bring Brian in for hindering the investigation or for stealing the car. So that's what a lot of people have said. Like, why can't he be arrested for Grand Theft Auto? Because if he had her van. Yeah. Yeah. But they said that at this time, they weren't able to bring him in.
Yeah.
So Joe Petito, Gabby's dad, also spoke. And he was asking again for anyone with any information to come forward. So yeah, now I'm going to talk about kind of the three, like, or two theories and then kind of what a lot of people think happened. So first, people have tried to, or have been talking about a possible connection to a Utah double homicide that happened in August. Crystal Turner and Kyland Schult, I believe, were found dead in Utah. So Kylan worked at, Moon something, that was a co-op grocery store, and that was the same grocery store whose parking lot is where Gabby and Brian had the altercation. And then the next day, Crystal and Kylan were found dead.
Whoa.
There's that connection. And then also there's reports that they were at the same bar the night before the two were found dead. And then also the two had reported being like trying to get away from a creepy man on their campsite.
Yeah, that's what I read, was that they were camping and they tried to get away from, or they had reported that there was some creepy guy around their campsite. I didn't know about the bar and the parking lot. That's crazy.
Yeah. So some people are saying that, like, maybe something happened and, you know, Brian's trying to cover it up or
That's crazy. That's, like, so that's escalation to the...
Yeah. I personally don't think that it's connected. I don't think that there's, like, there's no reason that they would be connected. They don't know each other. Like, other than that coincidence that they were in the same place, they don't know each other. But I don't think we can rule anything out either.
It's a big coincidence, though. I mean...
Yeah.
Something worth taking into consideration, for sure.
Next is a crazy Reddit theory that I went down a wonderful Reddit rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to try to outline this the best I can. Basically, somebody was on a Facebook group for the Grand Tetons National Park, and that's where a bunch of people, like, post photos and stuff, and a family posted a photo, and in the background of the photo was what looked like a girl laying down. And a lot of people have said that that girl, the clothes that she's wearing looks identical to clothes that Gabby was seen wearing and had posted on her Instagram back in March. So it looks very, very similar. It is the same looking clothes. There have not, I know a lot of people are trying to figure out, like, talk to the family who posted it. They're also trying to figure out if it was Photoshopped because, it definitely could have been.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to figure out. Like, I saw a photo, a screenshot of the post, but it didn't show that photo in it. It was, like, you know, some other photos at the beginning. So I don't know. I haven't seen the actual post with this photo.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I don't know where this leads necessarily. I don't think she was dead in that photo.
Right. Like,
the girl could have just been laying there. So other than proving that she was at Grand Tetons, I don't know, like, what else that would prove. But, you know, people are trying to figure out where she was and what happened. Because as far as we know, she was in Salt Lake City on August 25th. And that's, like...
And that's it.
That's what we know. So.
Yeah.
So what a lot of people think, what a lot of people are speculating, including myself, is that the two had gotten into some sort of argument and either accidentally or purposefully something happened that resulted in Gabby's death, and Brian has not said anything. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
It's just my theory, but that's what I think happened. I think something went wrong, whether it was purposeful or accidental, something went wrong.
Yeah. And he could be like, I mean, you know, like you always say, to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's in some kind of, like, state of mental shock or something, and he just, like, really can't talk about it. I mean, I definitely think he knows something, and I definitely think that some of the responsibility, if not all of it, is his.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's true. I'm trying to think objectively, you know, so.
I would hope his family would be doing more to, like, get him to see a, you know, psychiatrist,
encouraging him to talk to somebody, for sure.
Yeah. So.
They need to do their part, too.
Yeah. So as of this recording on September 16th, around 8 p.m. Eastern time, that is what we know. We will continue to keep you guys updated mostly on our Instagram and Twitter, which is at @inhuman_podcast, and then also on TikTok at @inhumanpodcast. So go follow us there so we can continue to keep you guys updated because stuff just continues to come out. We're trying to keep as up to date with it as we can.
And more is going to develop over...
A lot of people say that the police are kind of working on building a case against Brian before bringing him in. They want, like, all the evidence they can get.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are also like, what the heck, where's her cell phone? And can we ping it and stuff? So I think they're working on getting that as well.
Yeah, I saw that when I was responding to some messages, some nicer messages on the Instagram page. Yeah. I saw a couple of those, like, where's her cell phone? And I was like, that's a very good point. Where is her cell phone? Because that would probably give them some pretty...
A lot of it, yeah.
Solid information.
In the press conference, they basically said, we're working on getting that. We're analyzing it. We can't share anything. So it is an ongoing investigation. So obviously they're not going to share everything.
Right.
But there are a whole lot of people out there thinking about Gabby, thinking about you, Gabby. We're hoping that you are safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we're sharing this story, is because, you know, I know we're small podcasts and, like, our episode is not gonna, like, magically get her found, but the more people it reaches, the more it's in the media, mm-hmm. the more heat that's behind everybody, including the family of Brian, the more chances that it will get solved sooner than later. And they will figure out what happened to Gabby Petito.
Yep. Yeah. So share this with your friends, share it everywhere. Help us get the word out. And you can also like subscribe or follow us so that you'll see next time we drop it. You know, we don't typically do off the cuff episodes other than our normal
bonus episodes. Yeah.
But I think we will, you know, as much as we can manage, continue to share this story.
Yeah. Especially if there's another big break, you know, we definitely want to get on here and tell you guys what's going on.
Yep. So thank you guys for listening. The next episode will be out on Monday.